Bibles, Hebrews chapter 12 tonight. If you're ready to hear God's Word, say amen.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 12. And keep your Bibles available tonight. I'm going to use probably a little more Scripture than I normally would, but I'm not going to apologize for using a lot of Scripture. Amen? Because when you stop and think about it, you really don't need to hear what I think about it. You really don't need to hear what somebody else has said about it. The Word of God can speak for itself. And so let's get in the Word tonight and pray that the Word will get in us. Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to read beginning at verse 26 down through verse 29. And this will be our basis for the message tonight. We'll work from this. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 26. At that time, His voice shook the earth. That's a reference back to the Old Testament when God gave Moses the law on the mountaintop. At that time, His voice shook the earth. But now, He has promised once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words, once more, indicate the removing of what can be shaken. That is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. I'm preaching to you tonight. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. Heavenly Father, as we get into this Word tonight, again, our prayer is that this Word would get into us. And God, I pray right now that Your Holy Spirit would just bring an anointing on this message tonight. I need You, Father, like I've never needed You before. So, Father, I pray that You would just connect this Word for such a time as this and give us, Lord, a spirit of obedience to be doers of the Word tonight. And, Father, we'll give You glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. And everyone in agreement say,
amen.
Amen. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. We live in a world that is full of chaos and calamity, uncertainty tonight. The financial world, the stock market has been at an all-time high. And yet people are wondering, how long is it going to last? Is it real? Is it a house of cards? When will it tumble down? There's a lot of uncertainty in the economic world. Now I'm smiling at this one, there's a whole lot of shaking going on in the political world. And I'm just going to ask you right up front tonight to pray for the preacher that I will behave myself up here tonight. And not get into some of that territory that we preachers are not supposed to go when we preach. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But it goes without saying, there's all kinds of shaking going on, unprecedented days we're living in the political arena. Now listen to this. There's a lot of shaking going on in the church world. I'm not speaking out of school here. I'm telling you just the facts. I mean, just for instance, many of you know this. The United Methodist Church is facing a split of monumental proportion. And I mean, who would have ever thought we would reach a point where the lawyers, even as we speak tonight, are working on details so that there can be a peaceful exit? Who would have ever thought we would get to that point as a church? I just came back from the General Assembly of the Church of the Nazarene, of which I'm ordained and a member of. And to think of some of the subject matter that was debated on the floor, the fact that it even comes up, There's a lot of shaking going on in the church world. Think of all the terror threats. Think of all the fear in our world tonight. And unfortunately, in America and around the world, the last several years, we've just kind of gotten used to it. One word can bring back the graphic images of Columbine, 9/11, Virginia Tech. And just when we thought it wouldn't get any worse, Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut, when children at their school desk became targets. And it just continues. The names of the cities change. San Bernardino, California. Orlando, Florida. I'm almost to the point when that phone buzzes in my pocket telling me there's breaking news. I'm almost to the point, even before I look at the screen, I'm wondering to myself, wonder where it happened this time. Wonder where the latest massacre took place, the latest tragedy. You better believe there's a whole lot of shaking going on. And what I want us to do in here tonight is look at these current events in light of biblical prophecy. And I've got good news for you tonight. It's not going to be doom, gloom, and despair. I'm going to show you in here tonight from the Word of God that it's no time for the church to sit down. It's no time for the church to back up. It's no time for the church to shut up. It's time for the people of God to stand up. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. We don't want to get caught up in the shaking. So let's go to the Word and see what's happening here. Hebrews 12 and verse 26. At that time, His voice shook the earth. Again, a reference back to the Old Testament when God gives Moses the law on the mountaintop. Now, we all know this in here tonight. The law was never intended to save us. Amen? The law in and of itself was never intended to make us holy. Old Testament Israel is replete of a people that tried again and again and again in and of themselves, but they couldn't do it. Now, I told you this morning in here, I grew up in a very conservative, probably legalistic church when I was just a little boy, and yet I wouldn't trade my upbringing for anything. I love my holy heritage. But now go back there with me as a little boy. Try to get in my frame of mind. I mean, it was strict. As little boys, we thought we can't do anything. Everything we try to do, somebody tells us it's a sin. And man, we heard a lot of preaching about the law. I mean, we heard that all the time. And so I kind of grew up with this image of the law, that the law was kind of a sin meter. I had this little machine in mind. And every time you did something wrong, it'd kind of buzz. You'd go, eh. If you said something, you shouldn't say, eh. If you go somewhere, you shouldn't go, eh. Now, for some of us, it was probably more like, eh. Some of you can relate. Oh, the law was never intended to save. But aren't you glad you come to the New Testament and Almighty God shakes the earth as He sends Jesus into this world and He provides for us what He had demanded of us. And now, all of a sudden, we can be made holy. Through Jesus Christ. At that time, His voice shook the earth up until the point of Christ's coming. The world was ruled by Satan. Oh yes. We talked about that in here this morning. And Satan got his right of rulership because of the first sin of our first parents, Adam and Eve in the garden. Jesus would actually say of Satan in the New Testament, that Satan is the prince of this world. Paul would say in the New Testament that Satan is the god, little g, mind you, of this world. That's the backdrop for the message. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. I'm going to say five things about it if you want to take notes tonight. Number one, the shaking is the result of spiritual warfare. The shaking that's affecting the earth tonight is the result of spiritual warfare. Now, this is a subject we dealt with a little this morning. We do not deal with it enough around the church, so let's get into it a little here tonight. At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. So now we need to define the heavens. Remember in 2 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul talked about being caught up in the third heaven. You remember that? The very throne room of God. And the very throne room of God cannot be shaken. So if the third heaven is the very throne room of God, the first heaven would simply be the sky out there tonight. The canopy under which we live. That would be the first heaven. The third heaven is the very throne room of God. What's this second heaven? It's the spirit realm. And I'm going to ask you in here tonight to get your eyes off the physical realm. And I'm going to ask you to get your eyes up on the spirit realm. And I'll tell you where this message comes from. Last fall, as I traveled the country, different churches from week to week, I had never seen a time in the American church where there was so much anger and divisiveness. I mean, among Christians. And if you don't believe it, just get on Facebook every now and then. And I mean, just venom being spewed back and forth, and people were angry and frustrated and upset. And I'll be honest enough to admit, I found that many times I was angry. And I was frustrated with all that was happening in America. And I was upset. And I'm telling you, God the Holy Spirit spoke to me so clear one evening. And He said, you got to get your eyes off this physical realm. And you got to get your eyes up on the spirit realm, or you're going to be frustrated. You're going to get caught up in the shaking. So let's understand, all that's happening, the current events, what's happening here on earth is a result of a shaking in the heavens. There's epic spiritual warfare taking place. Good versus evil. And the shaking in the heavenly realm is affecting the earth. Now let me give you some background for this. And here's a passage I want you to turn to if you have your Bibles. Revelation chapter 12. And I'll give you a moment to find it. Revelation chapter 12, and we're going to start reading at verse 7. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. The shaking is the result of spiritual warfare. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7. And there was war in heaven, if you can imagine such a thing. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough. And they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down. That ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But now get ready. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short. Now I want to give you the image here tonight. Satan is a wounded animal. backed into the corner. He's filled with fury. He knows that his time is short. I'm going to be somewhat prophetic in here tonight. America, get ready. It's going to get worse before it ever gets better. But I promise you the message is good news tonight. And we're going to see that God's program is running according to schedule. And when we see all the chaos and the calamity, it's a reminder that God's program is running according to His schedule. But to get this, we have to be spiritually discerning and we have to get our eyes on the spirit realm. It's going to get worse before it ever gets better. All the shaking is the result of epic spiritual warfare between good and evil in the heavenly realm, and it's affecting the earth. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. The shaking is the result of spiritual warfare. Number two, the shaking is removing that which is temporary. Now here you're going to see some good news. Even with all the chaos and the calamity, there's a purpose behind what's happening. God is getting rid of everything that's not going to last. Go back to our text, Hebrews 12. Once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. Verse 27. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken. That is, created things. There's been a shaking going on for the past 2,000 years. And I don't have time to give you the complete chronology of our world history. But I'll do enough to show you something in here tonight. Every king, every kingdom, every nation, every empire that has been anti-Jesus Christ ultimately will be shaken and removed. Let's just start in the first century. The Jews did not accept Jesus as Messiah. I mean, think about this. They rejected Him. They did not receive Him, His Messiahship. You that know history know what happened to Jerusalem in 70 AD. Titus destroys the city. The temple is burnt to the ground. The very people of God were shaken and removed. You've got the Roman Empire. Now we're talking Julius Caesar, who claimed, I am God. Who would have ever thought the Roman Empire could be shaken, much less removed? History proves the Roman Empire was shaken and removed. Come on down to the Mongolian Empire. This is Genghis Khan, shaken and removed. Get to the Ottoman Empire, which turned out to be the largest landmass empire the world has ever known, shaken and removed. And if you want to do an interesting study on where jihad really comes from, study the Ottoman Empire. I can tell a lot of you, you're just thinking, well, that's ancient history, preacher. How does that apply to us? Let's get a little closer to where we live. How about this? Nazi Germany was shaken and removed. Let's get a little closer. How about the Soviet Union? Shaken and removed. Back in the 70s, the communist, the atheist declared there is no God. I find this interesting. By the end of the 1980s, God said there is no Soviet Union. Shaken and removed. I had a surreal experience. Thanks to Brother Doug over here back in year 2000, 2001, went on an early trip with Equip to Russia. And I had an incredible privilege standing right in Red Square. I remember as a little boy watching those military parades and being scared to death growing up in the Cold War that those missiles were aimed at us. And I'll never forget standing right there in the middle of Red Square, and I had the opportunity to share with someone that Jesus is the answer. History has proven over and over and over again, any nation, any king, any kingdom that is anti-Jesus Christ, they will be shaken and ultimately removed. So America, get ready. We've already been shaken. We're in the midst of an incredible shaking tonight. Hear the preacher tonight. Don't you be surprised if America is ultimately removed. Now, it breaks my heart to say that. I love our country. But I've got to ask you a favor here tonight. Please, please, never confuse the United States of America government and the kingdom of God. They are not the same. We have westernized these scriptures so much in America. We have Americanized this Bible to the point that I think we actually think we're God's chosen race. Let me tell you something, folks, we're not. So America, don't you be surprised. You cannot do what America has done and what America is doing tonight in regard to our morality, in regard to even legislation that says to God, we do not want you in our lives. There's a purpose behind all the shaking. The shaking is removing, getting rid of things that are not going to last. Number three, the shaking is revealing that which is eternal. There's a purpose here. The shaking is revealing what is going to last. Go back to the text, verse 27 of Hebrews 12. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken. That is, created things so that what cannot be shaken may remain. There's a purpose to this. The big picture tonight is good news, folks. God's program is running according to schedule. You say, preacher, how can you say that? When we watch the evening news, when we get the breaking news on our phones. I mean, you started off tonight telling us about all the chaos, the uncertainty, the shaking. I've started doing something. I started doing it last fall. And it's been helping me with this. I've been singing a little Sunday school song every morning when I get up. And some of those little Sunday school songs weren't half bad. Here's the one I've been singing. I sing it every morning now. He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got the whole world. Sing it with me. In His hands, He's got the whole world. In His hands, He's got the whole world in His hands. Don't you feel better? Sing it again. He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got the whole wide world in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. Now, let me show you, that's not just a Sunday school song. Turn to Acts chapter 17. If you have your Bibles, Acts 17. And if you don't believe God's program is running according to schedule, you will after you hear this. Even in the midst of all the shaking, even in the midst of all the chaos and the calamity, there's a purpose to what's happening. God's getting rid of things that are not going to last. He's revealing what is eternal. Acts 17, and pick up the reading at verse 24. Acts 17, and pick up the reading at verse 24. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands, and He is not served by human hands. As if He needed anything. Isn't that good? Because He Himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man, listen to this, He made every nation of men. How many know Jesus died for every individual born in the human race? From one man, He made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. Listen to this. And He determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this, listen, so that men would seek Him and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. Can I propose something to you tonight? The shaking that's going on in this world, there's a purpose to it. God is wanting to reach the nations. God is wanting to win lost men, women, boys, and girls all over the globe. And I got some news for you, and I have a feeling you'll hear some of this tomorrow. There's more happening than you realize. Can I tell you something? And I won't steal anybody's thunder, but I mean, I work with a lot of different mission groups, and in some of the international work I've done, every group will attest to this. Get ready. This is news you don't get on the evening newscast. We don't even hear this at church much. Do you realize there are more Muslims tonight coming to Jesus Christ than at any other time in the course of human history? All the shaking that's taking place. God is drawing men, women, boys, and girls unto Him, giving them opportunity. There are some revivals in the Middle East. There are some things happening. It's almost like the New Testament. I mean, dreams are happening. Jesus is revealing Himself to people without even a preacher, without a church. And of course, many of these that come to saving faith in Christ become martyrs. But I'm telling you, folks, we got to get up on the spirit realm to understand this. Because our focus, you know what it is, ISIS! Those are those people that cut heads off Christians. We can't stand those people. God, in the person of Jesus Christ, shed His blood so that whosoever will may come to Him. And I propose again to you, God's program is running according to schedule. And there are people coming to Christ in ways that it's never happened before. These are no times for the church to back up and sit down and, oh, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. It's time for us to stand up. This can be our finest hour. But you say, oh no, I mean, look at all the trouble. Look at all. Get your eyes on the spirit realm. Because I promise you, if you're just looking at the physical, you're going to be frustrated. You're going to be angry. Now, I asked you in the beginning to pray for me tonight. I hope you have been. Get ready. You understand, folks, even right here in America, it's not red states or blue states. It's not Democrats or Republicans. I mean, I'm telling you, get your eyes up where they need to be. It's not Black Lives Matter. It's not Blue Lives Matter. It's not All Lives Matter. It's not which bathroom do you use. But see, if we're not careful, we'll get so frustrated looking at that stuff, and rightly so because of what's happening. But if we get our eyes on the spirit realm, we understand there's a purpose in what's taking place, and God's program is running according to schedule. Lift up your heads. Lift up your heads, church. Get your eyes on the prize. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. It's the result of spiritual warfare. It's removing what's not going to last. It's revealing what is eternal. Real quick, number four, write this down. The shaking is releasing the kingdom of God. The shaking is releasing the kingdom of God. Go back to our text, Hebrews 12. And look at verse 28. Therefore, and anytime you see the word therefore in Scripture, you need to find out what's there for. Therefore, since we are receiving, this is us tonight. Now grab hold of this. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, glory to God, let us be thankful and worship Him. The shaking is releasing the kingdom of God. Now again, Jesus comes 2,000 years ago, ushers in the kingdom. Can you imagine that scene when Jesus, starting his earthly ministry, goes into the synagogue and he picks up that scroll of the prophet Isaiah? Now just imagine, hundreds of years, they've been having church. Put it in our language tonight. Hundreds of years, they've been having camp meeting. No doubt that scripture had been preached over and over and over again from Isaiah's prophecy. Yeah, there's coming a day. Somebody's coming. A Messiah. He's going to set the captives free. He's going to deliver us. Yeah, roll up the scroll, put it away. That'll be the day. Jesus picks up the scroll. He reads, there's coming one that's going to open the eyes of the blind. There's coming one that's going to bring the captive into freedom. There's coming one that's going to set the oppressed free. He rolls up the scroll, puts it back, sits down, and he said, I'm here. And then he goes out and he touches blind eyes. And people begin to see. And then he touches the lame and they begin to walk. And then he sets captive free after captive free. The kingdom was ushered in. But now watch this. And this is astounding, folks. Jesus goes to that cross and he dies. He resurrects. Shows himself to his disciples. The early Christ followers, can you get in their frame of mind? I mean, they were scared. You talk about uncertainty, all kinds of shaking. They didn't know if they were going to be the next ones put on the cross. But he shows himself as the resurrected Christ. They're probably thinking, oh, this is going to be better than ever. I mean, people will believe this Jesus now. He's the one that died, resurrected. Jesus stayed with them 40 days. And then he said, I'm leaving you, but I'm going to send my spirit. And he said, now watch this, I'm going to send my spirit and I'm literally going to attach myself to you. What do we call the church? The body of Jesus Christ. And he said, the works I've done, you will do. And greater works. Now listen to this, folks. Kingdom living. Now the fullness of the kingdom will come when Jesus returns a second time. But you better believe his kingdom. He said when you pray, pray for the kingdom to come. Thy will be done. All the shaking that's going on. It's releasing the kingdom of God. This can be our finest hour, church. No time to wring our hands. America's going to hell in a handbasket. What are we going to do? Stand up. Let's not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you say, oh, preacher, but it's so bad. And what do we... Here's another song I've been singing. This is an old gospel song. See if anybody remembers this one. But until then, my heart will go on singing. How are we supposed to be living in these perilous times? But until then, with joy, I'll carry on until the day. It's coming. My eyes behold that city until the day God calls me home. We've got that to look forward to. But until then, let's get our eyes on the prize or we could get caught up in this shaking. I'm going to scare some of you with this. Last summer, at the end of August, first 2 weeks of September, three local churches I was holding revivals in. Three consecutive weeks in a row, three people had heart attacks right in the services. One lady died right in the service. And now before we get too morbid here tonight, let me give you the rest of the story. She was 91 years old, a saint of God. And the paramedic said, it was early in the service, we were singing praise songs. They said she was probably gone by the time her head fell over into the lap of her husband of 72 years. Now when you stop and think about it, not a bad way to go to heaven. You're in church singing praise songs, next thing you know you're walking on streets of gold. Now, there was an overflow in that sanctuary, and they were able to pull some curtains at the back, and they worked on her for a while, the paramedics. Before they left, that husband of 70, 71, 72 years came walking down the center aisle of that church. We were still in a prayerful state, just singing softly. I witnessed something I'll never forget as long as I live. He comes down the aisle of that sanctuary, and with tears and yet a smile that could only come from God, he's singing. And you know what he's singing? It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Now listen, life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. Let me ask you something. What has shaken your world in recent days? What is it that has you frustrated and you just think there's no way out? One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. Whatever you're going through tonight, how should we be living? Bravely run the race till we see Christ. I didn't know I was going to sing my sermon in here tonight. But I'm starting to feel pretty good. You know some of these songs. A lot of these places I go, they don't know these songs. I think it'd be in order. And this might even be good for Brother Franklin over here. He'll sing with us on this one. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. We got to sing this verse. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear. Listen to this. No more sickness, no more pain, no more dying over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for you and me. What a day, glorious day that will be. I say praise the Lord, church. Now here's the last one tonight and I'm done. And it says what we've just sung. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. It's the result of spiritual warfare. It's removing what's temporary, it's revealing what's eternal, it's releasing the kingdom of God. And number five, the shaking reminds us that our redemption is near. I say praise the Lord. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. The scripture says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. Here's how we're supposed to be living. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Now there's a little warning right there at the end. If we don't get our eyes up on the spirit realm, we can get caught up in all of this chaos. We can get caught up in all of this uncertainty. So let me just close tonight. You don't have to turn, but I'm going to give you a couple of more scriptures that give us instruction how to live in these perilous times. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. That's where the King James says, forsake not the assembly. You know what it means, come to church. Every time the doors are open. And I realize the people that need to hear that aren't here tonight. I learned a long time ago, don't beat up the people that came to church because of the ones that didn't come. Amen. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another as you see the day approaching all the more. I'm going to ask you to do that in just a moment. I'm going to ask you on purpose to encourage one another. How are we supposed to be living? How about this? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 6. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert. Now, that doesn't mean those that sleep in church. He's talking about spiritually discerning the times in which you live. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And do this understanding the present time. Here it is again. You've got to be spiritually discerning the times we're living in. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. And here's the last one, and you may want to turn to this one. Matthew 24. Let's just let the words of Jesus close this tonight. These are red letters. And as we receive this word tonight, why don't you just receive it as Christ Himself speaking to you in these last days, these perilous times we're living in. Matthew 24 and verse 4. Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Now look very closely at verse 9. Then you. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. I want to say something here tonight. Please do not allow your study of eschatology, the end time, things to come. Please do not allow your study of eschatology to simply be shaped by your personal convenience and safety. Now, some of you got that. Those of you that didn't, don't worry about it. It don't even apply to you. How about that? But I want to tell you, folks, this is happening right now all over the world. And who are we, this American elitism that kind of says we're better than everybody else, and if these things aren't going to happen to us. There are people around the world tonight that love Jesus just as much as we do, if not more. And this is happening all over the world. America, get ready. It's coming. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. Sound familiar? At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm till the end will be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So lift up your heads, church. Your redemption draws near.